Love this is Talk funny. Radio. Yeah.
You ready?
Yep.
All right.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today, and if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. And today, we're going to talk about the future of women's boxing, and we welcome back our train wreck of the week, Beeb. Beeb, it's back. How about that? But first, we're going to get started with ESPN Plus, Edgar Berlanga versus Alexis Angulo, 10 rounds, super middleweights. Berlanga wins a unanimous decision here over Alexis Angulo, 98-92, 99-91 twice. I got to be honest here, man. I had the fight scored a draw. Honestly, I thought it could have went either way, man. The problem is that the scores were way too wide. I don't know how you gave it you didn't give Angulo but one round or gave him two rounds. Like, what are you doing? I mean,
I had it 96-94 for Berlanga, but I said the same thing. It could have easily have been a draw. It was a close-ass fight.
You couldn't argue either way.
Yeah, it was a close fight.
Yeah, you know, it really was. I thought it was really good. I thought Angulo did a good job putting pressure on him early, but I thought that, you know, I'll tell you what impressed me about Berlanga is he pulled a Sugar Ray. And at the last 30 seconds, toward the later, you know, about 7, 8, and 9, he started pulling the Sugar Ray. Over the last 30 seconds, that's when he got real busy and kind of stole the round because there wasn't much going on, you know. There was a lot of pressure. Berlanga, I thought, was moving backwards, obviously, but I thought that Angulo was winning the round, was doing a better job, but then that 30-second flurry came, and then you know, you got to give him the round because he landed some clean shots, you know, and he did a really good job at stealing those rounds. You know, he stole a couple on my card, that's for sure. But, you know, Berlanga, you know, he used his jab. He was trying to box, but those times were just few and far between, man. He really was. Angulo really frustrated Berlanga through the fight, though. I mean, Berlanga couldn't get anything going. And I guess that was, I don't know if that was their game plan. B, maybe you could speak on this. I don't know if that was their game plan, was to try to box this guy or what. But the bottom line is that Angulo really frustrated this guy. How desperate was Berlanga in this fight? Well, he tried to bite him in the seventh round. And then at the end of the fight, got in Angulo's face, won the fight, I think tried to throw a headbutt at him or whatever. Where was this aggression during the fight?
Yeah.
You know, where was this aggression at? You know, he tried to bite this guy, and he claims he was throwing elbows. It's a fight. I mean, come on.
He wasn't throwing elbows. First of all, Berlanga is a come-forward guy. He likes to get in the pocket. He's kind of a mid-range guy. He's not really great on the inside because when he tries to go too far deep in the pocket, he tends to smother his punches. He doesn't know how to position himself deep in the pocket to get those short punches off. He's, like I said, he's a mid-range guy.
Yeah.
Tried to box from the outside. Almost looked like he tried to recreate himself in this fight because he knew he was in there with a tough guy that he, going in, probably thought that he may not get this guy out of there, right? You know, David Benavidez stopped Angulo in 10 rounds. In 2018, Gilberto Ramirez beat him in a very one-sided 12-round fight.
Wow.
So this guy's a tough guy. But once again, you gotta look impressive against guys like Angulo if you're the goods. Right? I think the problem with Berlanga is, like I said, tried to reinvent himself for this fight, and he's just not that guy. He's very predictable, still telegraphs that right hand. Sure, he can punch, but once again, you got to set up that power. And because he's so repetitious, he's such a pattern fighter, throws the jab at one speed, one rhythm. You know, he's just easy to figure out. right? And I don't want to be too hard on the guy because, you know, when you look at these guys, you know, you say, well, he got here, right? How did he get here? How did he have these knockouts, whatever? Not anyone could just jump in the ring and be a boxer. Yeah, we get that. But, you know, when you have the hype behind you and you are being showcased and you're being, you know, you're the main event fighter on a top ranked show on ESPN, we're going to compare you to your contemporaries, right? And when you look at a guy like David Morrell, you look at a guy like, you know, David Benavidez. You know, these guys are younger than Berlanga. You know, you could argue that Benavidez has probably more experience and Morrell maybe have more experience amateur-wise, whatever. But again, you know, you're highly touted, and we have to compare you to those guys, and those guys are levels above you. It's hard for me to envision this man ever being a world champion unless he fights for a vacant title against, you know, the right guy at the right place at the right time. I'm just not impressed. I don't see an improvement, you know. And, he got a new trainer, and I don't know what the reason behind that was, because it wasn't the trainer, it was you. You know, Andre Roger is a top-notch guy. He's been trained a lot of great fighters, yeah. You know, particularly Daniel Jacobs. And, you know, you got rid of Roger saying you needed, a new, fresh start. And it seemed like they tried to turn him into this guy that he's not. I mean, it's okay to be an aggressive guy. It's okay to be a come-forward fighter. But you can still do all those things and be creative. You can still, you know, learn how to set your shots up better. You can still learn how to cut the ring off better. You can still learn how to position yourself better and you know, be able to throw the right punches at the right time. And he just fights one way and one way only. You know, he's almost like a wind-up toy. And again, like, those punches are still being telegraphed. So I don't know. I thought he squeaked by against the guy he was supposed to really beat soundly. And
he was supposed to beat this guy soundly. Yeah. I mean, this is a 39-year-old guy who, you know, three losses on his record, now four.
Yeah.
But three losses on his record, you know. I mean, this was supposed to be a showcase fight for you. Puerto Rican Day weekend, you know, the Puerto Rican Day Parade weekend and everything like that up there in New York. That's not good, man. I mean, you did not look good. I will say it looks like his defense improved a little bit. I didn't see him getting hit with crazy shots. Got hit with shots, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, it's better. I think it's improved than it did, like, say, four or five fights ago, put it that way.
Yeah.
But it's improved. I didn't say it was great. It's improved.
No, he was in there with a guy that wasn't throwing a ton of punches either. So
to your point, that's true, too.
That's the thing, too. So, I mean, his face got busted up pretty good. And when he did get hit, he seemed like he was rocked. And
If you looked at both of those guys after the fight, you tell me who won that fight. You know what I mean? Like, you could, you know, I would say, hey, this guy won, not the other guy. I mean, his face was bruised, man.
Did you give Angulo the last round?
Let me check and see what
I'm
got.
I'm curious to see what round, because I kind of was thinking that last round could have gone either way, but I'm just curious to see.
The fight, let me tell you what, this fight will never happen, but a fight I would like to see, I think it's a really fun fight, would be Berlanga versus Jaime Munguia. Wouldn't that be a fun fight?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
I think Munguia would beat him, though.
I think Munguia would beat him, too, but you don't know. But that would be a fun fight. It'll never happen. But I gave Angulo that last round.
And that's what made it a draw, because I gave that last round to Berlanga. I thought he edged it.
That's what made it a draw. Yeah, I had it a draw, and he had to get the
last
round.
I'm going to guess the rounds on your card.
All right.
Tell me if I'm right.
Yeah.
You gave Angulo rounds 3, 4, and 5, and 9 and 10, right?
I gave him 4 and 5, and I gave him 10. I gave 7, 8, and 9 were Berlanga rounds for me, and the 10th round was Angulo. Now, the first round I gave to Angulo, 2 and 3 I gave to Berlanga.
Okay.
4, 5, and 6. 4, 5, and 6 I did give to Angulo. 7, 8, and 9 I gave to Berlanga, and then 10th I gave to Angulo.
Because round 1 and round 10 I thought were swing rounds.
There was some close. But there wasn't a lot of action. And you know what I noticed? You know what I noticed is that when, like, you know what, ESPN, you could tell the house fighter. I'm watching on Twitter.
They were caping for him.
Yeah, you know, I'm watching on Twitter, and they show, like, a shot from, like, Berlanga. Look at this shot on Twitter. You know, they'll have to show a little snippet. Also, too, did you notice the punch stats? They only showed the punch stats when Berlanga was had, like, power punches, never, like, total punches. They showed power punches and everything like that. It was all, you know, and how Berlanga outlanded him, I'll never know. Because he did not throw that many. I don't know what they're doing over there at Copy Box, but.
Yeah, this was another one of those fights. This fight and the Devin Haney-Camposas fight, or I thought the punch stat guy got it wrong.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think a lot of those punches Berlanga was throwing was even landing. He was like, he was blocking the majority of those jabs on his glove. He was catching the jab. He was parrying the jab a lot. So.
Yeah. KMR says Berlanga's dirty. He should never headline another Top Rank again. Let's get into that here real quick because I'll tell you what. The Lux recording said Berlanga should have been DQ'd. Nah, I don't think so. I don't think
the ref didn't see it. The ref didn't see it. It was to the blind side of the referee.
Well, I mean, in fairness, Mills Lane did. Wasn't Mills Lane that saw the Tyson Holyfield fight where he didn't?
Yeah, he allowed the first fight
because he didn't see it. Yeah, because he didn't see it. But in all fairness, I don't think he bit him. He tried to bite him, which is a penalty. Obviously, clearly a penalty. Don't get me wrong. But he tried to bite him. You know what I mean? And luckily, he didn't. You know, get a hold of him or whatever. But I think that
he would have bit him if he didn't pull away, though.
Yeah, he would have. You know, what gets me though is that like. You know, you talk about this guy, his stock went down just because of his performance alone. But then you throw in the tactics, the seventh round, the bite. That was really bad. That's a bad look.
Yeah.
And for you to come out and defend that was even a worse look. And then try to headbutt him after the fight and then try to get all in his face after the fight.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, where was all this energy during the fight? You had 10 rounds to get in his face and you didn't do it. He pushed him, Berlanga got pushed around that ring last night. He was pushed around that ring by a 39-year-old guy. Now, listen, I'm not saying the 39-year-old guy isn't tough. I'm saying that should not have happened with a prospect, you know, you say he's a top prospect. This is the guy you're hyping as the next Puerto Rican star. 16-fight, first-round knockout streak, whatever you want to say, whatever it was. This should not happen.
Well, I want to get your opinion on these comments from Berlanga before the fight because he was being interviewed and they asked him, Miguel Cotto is here. What is your message to Miguel Cotto? And he goes, well, I want to show Miguel Cotto I'm a superstar just like he is. And I'm like, nah, you don't start saying things like that.
No. Well, I heard, you know, from everything I've read on Twitter from like the big guys, Cotto didn't even stay for that fight. He was gone. He didn't even stay.
Did he leave?
He left.
Yeah, because
Steve Kim and Doug Fisher, I think Doug Fisher did, but I know Steve Kim did, said that he left. He wasn't even in the arena at that point.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's a big fan
he
of
He left
Berlanga.
After the LeBron fight, you know, the two LeBrons fight, and he left. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, this is your countryman, you know?
I would suspect he's not high on Berlanga. He doesn't like guys who are like the talkers and the, you know, he likes the quiet guys that just go out there and fight.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he's not a loudmouth. You know, Miguel Cotto was never a loudmouth. I don't know why I never liked Miguel Cotto. I just didn't. Something about him.
Yeah, he has like an aloof way about him. He's just very reserved sometimes.
He kind of strikes me as arrogant, maybe. Maybe that's what
it is. Rude. He's kind of like aloof to a lot of media members. He doesn't like talking to people.
Yeah.
Come that way.
Don said I would have left too. I don't put up with that crap either. somebody said, I think it was MEZ Box, said that he would take Berlanga over Munguia, you know, because Munguia doesn't fight anybody. And hey, listen, man, I'm just saying it's a good fight. I'm just saying that's a fun fight. I mean, would you want to see that fight? I'd want to see that fight.
I would watch it.
I would love to see that fight, man.
If I'm going to buy Trevor Bryant versus Daniel Brown pay-per-view for $29, I'm going to watch that.
I was so irritated, man, because when I texted you, you know, like I texted you the fight or whatever, and you said you bought it, but I got home late, a little bit later, after it started, because I was going to buy it, because I was, like, that intrigued on it, man. I was like, I want to check this out, man, because they did a good job in the press conference. At least Trevor Bryan did a great job selling that fight.
He
didn't do a great job in the fight, you know, but he did a great job, you know, selling that fight. Deluxe Recording said, I would not say Cotto is arrogant. I wouldn't say that either. I don't know it, you know. I'm just saying that's the vibe – to me, that was kind of the vibe he put off or whatever.
Comes off as kind of aloof.
But again, man, I don't know him. You know, certain personalities you like, certain personalities you don't like. You know?
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
Bite Langa. Ryan Hogg's is Bite Langa. Oh, man. So why in the world did they start this fight after midnight? Did you have any good reason? You know, because I think the card started at, what, 8 or 9? I think it was like 8. Like, you could watch it on ESPN Plus or whatever, you know. And
Yeah.
Why? What is going on over there where we got to wait until 3 a.m. to watch a fight here? It's in New York. I don't understand that.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. I started watching it. I fell asleep. I ended up waking up like at 2 o'clock. Then I started watching it again. Then I finished watching it this morning. I couldn't watch it all at once because I was like, because the time is just too much.
It's ridiculous, man. That's why a lot of times, unless it's a really good UFC pay-per-view, something I really want to watch, I won't buy it. Because
unless,
I'm
like
beat at 1 o'clock when the main event comes on. I'm like, dude.
Unless it's tension. I'm not gonna.
We all stay up for tension, no question about it.
Tension.
And Mayweather, we're staying up. We're all night hunters when it comes to that. You know.
Oh, yeah.
I'll never forget that. I feel like such a bonehead doing that.
That's hilarious.
Oh my God. Adam Beanie Smith says it's 4 p.m. in the UK. This is why we do this. We do this for you. We switch it up today. We switch it up. Not really, but it sounds good. You know. Did we see the Vargas Dakota fight? I did. I saw it. It was a knockout. You know, I thought it should have been stopped way before it was, but that is what it is. And apparently that guy is okay. He went to the hospital, but apparently he's okay. So that's always a plus. Let's talk about the broadcast, Beeb, here. Let's see here. Tim Bradley, during the fight, I think it was right around the fourth round, made reference to started laughing about a fighter who was shadow boxing during the fight. Let me just give you guys a little background on this. I don't know who's seen this and who hasn't, but the fight took place in Africa. I guess it was South Africa or something like that. Two guys were fighting. One guy gets knocked through the ropes, okay? The guy who got knocked through the ropes gets up. Now, the guy who knocked him through the ropes, as soon as he says box, turns and starts walking to the other corner and, like, shadow boxing, like throwing punches like somebody's in front of him, like legit punches. It wasn't like a shadow box. He was throwing, like, legit punches. And I'm like, what is going on here? And the referee immediately stopped the fight. Now, just watching that, you knew there was something wrong. You knew there was something wrong with that guy. That there was something like that's not normal behavior, man. Something happened that short-circuited his brain. And apparently he was winning the fight. He was winning the fight all through. The gentleman, unfortunately, his name, let me bring this up here. His name was Samisio Butelizzi, and he passed away from a brain injury. And everybody saw that video. The video went viral. You know, I mean, everybody, it was on TMZ and everything like that. I mean, it was all over the place, all over, you know. And then the news reported. I mean, it was all over the news that this guy had passed away because it was such a viral video because it was so like, wow, what's going on with this guy? Bradley apparently didn't know this, you know, and said, you know, he said he made reference to the fight. Him and Tessitore start laughing about it. About the guy shadow boxing, you know, how do you not know, you know, like this is your job to know this stuff, that he died. You know, the guy died like 2 days, you know, a couple of days after the fight. And in fact, Ryan Hong saying 2 days ago, yeah. You know, listen, even if you didn't know the guy passed away, even if you didn't know, you should have known, there's no excuse for it, but, because we all knew, you know, even if you didn't know, okay, but the guy clearly had a brain injury. That's clearly a brain injury.
cognitive issue. There's cognitive, some type of cognitive issue going on there. Absolutely.
You know this.
You don't make fun of something like
you
that.
You know this. Just looking at the video, there's something wrong there.
You don't laugh at that.
Yeah, I watched it. I was, like, horrified when I watched it. I'm like, oh, my God. You know?
Yeah.
How is Tim, Suleiman says, how is Tim Bradley going to know that? Let's see here. During his career, Tim Bradley was very durable. The South African fighter was almost probably was fighting hurt. Yeah, well, the guy was winning, from what I understand. I didn't see the entire fight, but apparently the guy was winning the entire fight and apparently got a brain bleed at some point in that fight, and it hit him then. But how was Bradley supposed to know that? Again, I'll say it again. Even if he didn't know that, it's no excuse to make fun of that guy. No excuse.
I mean, even if you didn't know the guy,
knew he was injured.
You knew there was something cognitively wrong with that guy. If someone gets knocked out and they're on the ground throwing punches in the air, you know there's an issue with their brain.
Sure.
There's something not computing in their brain, right? A guy just doesn't turn and walk to a corner and start shadow boxing and not like against nobody.
Right.
So, again, you don't have to know the extent of the guy's injuries. You don't have to know that the guy passed away 2 days later.
No.
But once again, you know that there's something cognitively wrong with the guy.
Right.
And you don't make fun of someone who has a cognitive, you know, it's pretty obvious that there's
horrible
brain injury to some sort. You know, you don't make fun of that.
What are you doing, man?
Not funny.
Luis Mack kind of summed it up perfectly. He said Bradley was goofing on Angulo for going to the wrong corner twice. Blamed it on the weed smoke in the arena. That was the other thing. It was like, what are you doing? You know, come on. Then he brought up the shadow boxing incident.
You can't conflate the two issues of what happened last night to what happened on that night.
No. Shadow boxing into the wrong corner clearly there's some issue there that you short-circuited something here. And going to the wrong corner, clearly two different things. Like Bradley and him and Tessitore just pissed themselves laughing, you know, over this whole thing.
It's not funny, in my opinion. I'm not going to sit there and tell people, you know, what they can say or do or what types of opinions they can have. But I will critique what you say. I will critique your opinion. I will criticize you for saying something I think is out of line. I'm not going to say that Bradley needs to get fired or he's going to get punished for anything like that.
No.
I just think he made an ass of himself.
But I'll be honest with you. To me, it's kind of the straw.
That's my opinion.
To me, it's kind of the straw because Bradley is a terrible commentator. He's awful. He really is. And he tries to be like a Stephen A. on there. And there's only one Stephen A. And everybody knows, you know, you either like him or you don't like him. You guys know his shit, you know.
Teddy Atlas himself called Tim Bradley out for trying to imitate him.
Yeah, but Teddy Atlas, I mean, there's only one Teddy Atlas. I mean, Teddy Atlas is the GOAT. Everybody knows that. And, Teddy Atlas, let me tell you what, when Teddy Atlas criticizes you, everybody listens. When Tim Bradley does it, it's just like, you know, come on.
Yeah. And, you know, here's another criticism of Tim Bradley. Like, he tries to, like, insult everybody. Oh, this guy's making this. He's doing that. Why is he doing this? Why is he doing this? Bradley, I mean, like, Joe Tessitore called him out last night. He goes, Tim, you know, you were – in some fights too, where you kind of slugged it out and you made mistakes and you got hit when you shouldn't have got hit. And he goes, and his excuse was, yeah, well, I was undersized. I was small. I couldn't punch. So I had to take chances, whatever. Again, like Andre Ward was a stellar boxer. He made very little mistakes. He lost very few rounds in fights. Right.
Yeah.
And even he tells Tim, hey man, you got to give the guy a break here and there, you know, whatever. Like he's not as hard on the fighter. Like, Tim Bradley is so condescending to the fighters. And,
can't stand him.
And it's like, you were a good fighter, Tim Bradley. Dare I say you were a great fighter, right? But you weren't perfect either. And obviously, I'm in no position to criticize Tim Bradley because I can only dream of doing what Tim Bradley did in the ring. And I'm not trying to diminish anything Tim Bradley did in the ring. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, you come across as, like, this master boxer. And you were flawed in the ring. You made a lot of mistakes, too.
Like he's Floyd Mayweather or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. You're not Floyd Mayweather. You're not Andre Ward. You're not Pernell Whitaker. You weren't.
No.
So don't try to expect these other guys to be something that you weren't even, in my opinion, with all due respect.
Ryan Hong says, who's worse, Bradley or Sergio Mora? Listen, I mean, they're both brutally bad, but Sergio Mora is just annoying. Tim Bradley is just...
I don't know why Suleiman. I don't know why Suleiman is running interference with Tim Bradley in the chat. I mean, the guy just does a bad job. I mean,
it's horrible.
Again, he was a good fighter. He was a good world champion, but he's not a good announcer.
He reminds me of one of those trolls on Twitter. You know what I mean? He really does. A troll, like a social media troll. You know.
Yeah, I mean,
awful.
I just think I think he's a lousy commentator. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan. Not a big fan. Let's talk about DAZN here. Jaime Munguia versus Jimmy Kelly, 12 rounds. Super middleweights. Jaime Munguia, baby, wins via TKO in the fifth round over Jimmy Kelly. Let me tell you something, man. I don't know about you. I was entertained. This was an entertaining fight, man. I loved it. Jimmy Kelly looked like he was on his bike in the first round. He was connecting, but not, you know. Second round, I don't know what happened, what clicked, what adjustment he made, but he was moving very well, going into exchanges, coming out of exchanges, and he got the better of Munguia for like the next four rounds, you know, next three rounds anyway. He was catching him with just about everything he threw, man. Munguia had a tough time trying to cut the ring off with this guy. Movement frustrates Munguia. If he gets in there with a guy that moves, he's going to have a lot of problems, man. You know, Munguia doesn't have, like, overly good footwork. You know, he's got very basic footwork. Like, he knows his balance, and he knows all the basics, don't get me wrong. But he's not – you hit it on the head. He's not athletic, and he's not quick on his feet, you know. But he's got that power, got that game-changing power, man. And you look at this guy, and you're like, you don't know where that power comes from because he doesn't have, like, you know, overly big legs or anything like that. I mean,
yeah, he's
just
not a muscular guy.
Got that power, man. And I'll tell you what, he found it in the fifth. He put Kelly down three times, and then the ref stopped it after the third knockdown. Now, Kelly went down, looked like he went to a knee. He was getting pummeled in that corner. Looked like he went down to a knee. That's three knockdowns. You know, I know there's no three knockdown rule in a lot of places, but I think that was it. I really do. You can't, you know, I mean, if it goes another round, I think you're going to see a lot of the same thing. I think Munguia had him at that point. I like Munguia, and I like him because he's a vulnerable fighter. He's a vulnerable, exciting fighter, you know. They need to start up in this competition, man. Put some names in front of him. The guy's 40-0 now, Beeb, this guy is 40-0. He needs to leave Golden Boy. Why is it none of those guys at Golden Boys gets big fights? They should, right? This guy should have had a big fight already. This guy should be a star, man. He's 40-0. He's got, like, he's an exciting fighter. Because he could get knocked. You have the feeling he can get knocked out at any point. You could have the feeling he could lose at any point, but he doesn't. He wins. You know, he knocks people out. And that's – he's just one of those fighters, man. I like him. Technically, is he – no. But he's exciting. He reminds me, don't go crazy, an Arturo Gatti type of fighter, okay, where I got to tune in, I got to see what happens. D-Style, thank you so much, brother. We appreciate it. My man, that one fight scored the same. The Belanga fight scored the same. He ended the draw as well.
Yeah.
Beeb, what were your thoughts on Munguia? You're just going to rip him apart. You're just going to rip him apart.
No.
How dare you?
Munguia is who he is, and he understands that. And that's what I respect about him. You know, he's not the quickest guy in the world. He's not the most slick guy upper body movement-wise, but he's gotten better with his hand positioning, right? He's catching shots. He's being a little bit more defensively responsible. He's gotten better with the counterpunching because he's catching and shooting now. Again, what I do like about Munguia is the way he can squeeze those shots off. He's creative with those punches. Like, he'll throw those half-hook, half-uppercut shots that guys can't really see coming. He knows how to thread the needle with a lot of those shots, and he does put his shots together. And unlike Berlanga, he throws a variety of punches.
Yeah.
He knows how to set the shots up. I will give Morales credit. He has refined him as much as he can be refined. We'll give him that.
I think he is what he is at this point. I mean, he's 40 fights in. You can't do too much with him now.
Yeah, but at least he says, you know, he's trying to get him to work off the jab, gauge his distance well, and you know, make sure you got your feet set and you're in position to throw the punches, right? I mean, and don't forget about going to the body.
Yeah.
Vary things up. Berlanga doesn't even throw body punches, right? What I do love what Morales said in the corner, though, right before that knockout in the fifth round, you're letting these rounds get away from you, son. You gotta step to them. You gotta go to the body. You gotta throw the uppercut. You gotta get inside, right? He said that, and he went out there and he followed his instructions to a T. So there's a good connection here. I don't like to put too much stock in the trainer just reinventing fighters, and all of a sudden, you know, a trainer can change a fighter. But I have to be honest, he has improved him a bit, and you said the same thing, I believe. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No, yes.
He has improved him a bit. Do I think he could beat Charlo? No. Do I think he could beat Genebec? No. But as you said, he's going to go out on his shield trying, right?
Yeah,
you know, and he's always one. He may not have that one punch power, but he has that one punch fight changer, where you can see him hit a guy with a shot, and he'll freeze a guy. He'll make a guy like, boom, like he'll stun guys. And if once he does that, he's a pretty good finisher as well, right? So got to give him credit. I think he's trying. He works at his craft. You know, he has become a world champion. So you know, he's been maneuvered pretty well to become champion at 154. But
that's another statement, I tell you.
Correct. You know, and he did call Charlo out after the fight, but I don't know, man. These guys got to leave Golden Boy. They have to.
Ryan Garcia and Jaime Munguia are the big guys over there. They are. They're the big guys over there. There may be a couple of others, but they're the two big guys, and they're not getting.
Virgil Ortiz too. I mean,
he's not getting any fights either. He ain't getting any.
Yeah,
fights
he's
either.
Not getting. But De La Hoya, not in so many words, openly admitted like he's protecting his fighters. Right.
He's such a. Oh, my God.
You know, and then you have Leonard Ellerbe saying, well, we're not going to put our fighters in a situation where we can lose everything, in other words, right? So these promoters are putting in my opinion, again, this is just me assessing the situation. They're more concerned about themselves and not the fighter. One thing I love about Eddie Hearn, as much as he's a shit talker and he really kind of says ridiculous things at times too, but he lets the fighter – He does put the fighter first. He knew that the only way Canelo could be undisputed was to go over to PBC. And he encouraged him to go to PBC and fight Plant because he knew that he couldn't get him undisputed. Same thing with Devin Haney. He knew he couldn't get him undisputed, right? So he says, you know what, let them go out there and do what they have to do to promote themselves and push themselves forward and get, you know, achieve their goals. And then once they do that, they can come back to me. And what did Canelo do? He came back to him. You know, let's see what Devin Haney ends up doing. But, these promoters are putting their own personal feelings ahead of the fighter, and it's hurting the fighter, and it's not only hurting the fans, but it's also hurting the fighter. These aren't good moves.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and none of these fighters are scared to fight each other. They're not. You know, that none of these fighters are scared to fight each other. I don't know, you know, you hear this on social media all the time. Listen, these guys aren't scared of each other. They'll fight you in a drop of a hat. It doesn't matter to them.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's ducking anybody. It just is. I mean, it's the promoters and the way they, you know, and no, hey, listen, man, I mean, hey, you can make more money fighting this guy versus this guy. You know, that's how the game is played, man.
And back in the day, you had Don King, Bob Arum, and you know, Dan Duva. They all you know, co-promoted events. All of a sudden, you know, I think Heyman has been a big deterrent in cross promotion fights. I'm not gonna say he hasn't done any of them, but he's been the most reluctant to do them, in my opinion. Bob has been and always is open to doing cross promotion fights. You know?
I think to an extent, because look at Terrence Crawford. couldn't do anything with Terrence Crawford.
No, you're right. You're right. But, you know, when I look at PBC and Al Heyman and I hear Floyd Mayweather and Leonard Ellerbe talk, you know, it's just we're not going to – hear Floyd Mayweather say we're not going to make another promoter rich. What about making your fighter rich?
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what it's about. That's what it's about. You made your money. Now let these other guys eat.
Yeah.
Right?
Luis Reyes says Oscar fought everyone, so it's weird he doesn't let a stable fight. That's a great point.
Yeah,
that's a great point, man. Because Oscar, you listen, as much as I can't stand Oscar, he fought everybody. Can't take it away from him, you know?
Yeah, he did. He
fought everybody. Floyd Mayweather the same way. You may not like him, but again, he fought everybody, you know? So, you know, what can you say? ESPN, let's talk about this Tuesday fight because it happened on Tuesday. Nayoa Inoue versus Nonito Donaire. Inoue starched Donaire in two rounds. It was a left hook that did the damage in the second round. He stunned him with it the first time, hit him with a right hand, and hit him with it again, and he was out the second time he landed that left hook, man. Insane. Donaire, I thought, started out fairly well. I was actually giving him the first round until he got knocked down. Donaire said after the fight, that first knockdown he had in the first round was the hardest he'd ever been hit in his life. He had no idea. Yeah. He was done. He was done in that second round, son. He made it look easy.
And it looked like it was the hardest he'd ever been hit, judging by the reaction. You know, that was a tough one.
Boy, I'll tell you what, man. That's somebody else, man. That guy, the monster, they nicknamed him Right Man because, jeez. Expert. Who did he not fight? Who did Floyd not fight? He says, wow, Floyd fought everybody, ? Who did he not fight? Fought everybody.
Well, once again, there's always going to be a guy that someone wants to fight that they don't fight. And
Paul Williams comes to mind. But let's look. Diego Corrales, he fought him in the prime of his career. Now, we can pick and choose and say, listen, I can say, hey, Floyd fought Shane Mosley past his prime. He fought such and such past his prime. I get you. No, I hear that. You know, in his last couple of fights, you know, I don't know.
But who did fight Paul Williams? Did Pacquiao fight Paul Williams? Did Shane Mosley fight Paul Williams? Did Miguel Cotto fight Paul Williams? Did Josh Gladdy fight Paul Williams late? You know, and there's only one fight, in my opinion, that was very disappointed Mayweather didn't fight. And that was Koscielny. That was the one fight that I thought at 140 would have been a great fight for Floyd Mayweather. But, you know,
nobody can touch at 135. Floyd Mayweather could not be touched at 135.
Yeah, I mean,
couldn't be touched.
I thought Castillo edged him the first fight, but you can argue Mayweather edged him too.
Yeah.
People look at that fight and they sit there and say, like, that was a fight that Mayweather clearly lost.
I had him losing that first Castillo fight too. What was it, 130 where he fought Corrales?
But yeah, 130.
I'm
going to say, in my opinion, Floyd's the best 130-pounder in the history of the sport
I've ever seen, man. I mean, the way he took apart Corrales, that Floyd Mayweather, I'm going to tell you right now, that Floyd Mayweather took apart Corrales wouldn't have been beat that night by anyone. Anyone in that division on any era, I don't care what, he would not have been beaten.
Gennaro Hernandez was a good fight.
Gennaro Hernandez, I forgot about Gennaro Hernandez, man. That was another one, man.
Angel Manfredi.
Manfredi, and we expected him to win. Not in the second. What was the second round or first round TKO or something like that?
Well, here's the thing too. What people forget is he was a big underdog against Corrales. He was like a 3-1 underdog against Chico Corrales.
That was the one. You remember that? You remember that where Corrales was eating a sandwich before the fight? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
In the dressing room, like, what were you doing, man? I heard he was cutting out on training and everything. He completely overlooked Floyd.
Yeah,
which I don't know what you were doing, man. Remus press clippings. Nayoa Inoue is said to be in talks with Paul Butler to be undisputed in his division. So hopefully that fight comes in. That would be nice. It would be nice if it took place in England, too. That would be great.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he traveled to England. He has no problem doing things like that. He's pretty confident in his abilities.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. On King Vision. You remember that? That was the old pay-per-view, King Vision. Remember that?
I love seeing that. I love watching that and seeing the little ring, the little King
Vision
emblem in the left-hand corner there. That was awesome. It was nostalgic. It was nostalgic.
That's it. Guys on the phones, if you're holding, we're coming to you in just a few minutes, so just bear with me here. Trevor Bryan versus Daniel Dubois for the WBA regular title, which means not much, you know, doesn't mean a whole lot. But, if you're the WBA regular champion, supposedly you're supposed to be the number one contender and get a shot at the heavyweight champion. Let me tell you what, that ain't happening anytime soon for either one of these guys. So, Daniel Dubois wins by a fourth-round TKO over Trevor Bryan. Dubois had zero problem handling Trevor Bryan, who was outclassed in this fight. How Bryan got the title or got a shot at this title is completely beyond me. He looked awful physically on the weigh-in. At the weigh-in, he looked terrible. He looked awful in the ring. It was bad all the way around. The only thing he won was a trash talk session beforehand, which actually sold me on the fight. Like I said, I was going to buy the fight. I mean, you actually bought the fight. I was actually going to buy the fight, but I came home too late. I couldn't see it. So I'm like, wow, I can't watch it. I can't buy it now because it's already started. I like to watch the whole thing, but I missed it. But I did see the fight. I didn't end up seeing the fight. But, Dubois looked pretty good here. And Dubois looked like, I'm watching this guy, right? How could this guy get beat by Joe Joyce? And I keep seeing that Joe Joyce jab just bam, bam, bam. Why, Trevor Bryan didn't try to emulate that or didn't try to keep him off him with something? I mean, it looked like he was just there for a payday. I got to be honest, man. He looked awful.
Daniel Dubois, he's a very stoic. He's not an emotional guy, but he was like the happiest I've ever seen him after a fight.
Yeah.
And I we always love to diminish these regular titles. And you and I got in a pretty heated debate about this one time.
Yeah.
And, I have to say, after seeing him so happy like that, let him have his fucking glory. Let him call himself a champion. I'm going to give you a little bit of support on your statement, because seeing his face yesterday, this is a guy who he could hit the lottery and he'd be like, take his ticket, thank you, and just walk off.
Yeah.
But he was like happier than a pig in shit yesterday.
He was
so
overjoyed. Yeah.
Smile. He was doing all these interviews, and you know what? Stupid as it may sound, call me a hypocrite. I hate the regular belt. I hate this, all this.
Yeah.
But let Daniel Dubois have his glory. Let him call himself a champion.
He deserved it. He deserved
it. I'm gonna let him do it.
Yeah,
he deserved it, man. I'm a hypocrite. You guys can fucking call me a hypocrite, and you can take shots at me right now. Daniel Dubois yesterday was we're gonna let him call himself a champion.
Yeah. I agree, man. I mean, he deserved it yesterday. He fought a good fight. He did what he was supposed to do, and,
And I owe him a lot of thanks. I want to thank him for doing one favor for Beeb Industries. I didn't call him, so there's no controversy here, but the over-under was 3.5. We made the over by 28 seconds. A lot of my constituents, they were biting their nails. They were nervous. I was getting texts. Beeb, you fucking asshole. We made it, guys. We made it. So I want to thank Daniel Dubois for allowing this fight to go over yesterday. And, I told people this fight's going over the 3.5. I was getting – people were laughing at me. They were throwing darts at me. Me and BT, shout out to BT, Brendan Taylor, BT Sports. He's on the round table last week. We both picked the over. We hit the over, and that's – what more can you ask me? We're going to have a steak dinner tonight.
There you go. Boxing expert, thank you so much, brother. He said Floyd is overrated. The only reason he's called TBE, it's because he's American. He cherry-picked the second half of his career. The only reason he's called TBE is because he put that name on him. Just like Muhammad Ali called himself the greatest, he calls himself TBE. That's the only reason he's TBE. I do not consider him the best fighter ever. I do not. I'm just saying he's very good. Fought a lot of people. He cherry-picked the second half of his career. He did. He did. There's no question about that. He did. But,
yeah, I mean,
but he did fight some good fighters. He fought everybody that you wanted to see him fight, he eventually fought. Maybe past their prime, but eventually he fought them.
Let me address one comment in the chat, and I hate doing this because I don't want to go back and forth with the chat all show because that deteriorates the show, but I'm just going to respond to this one comment. Olive the Mighty, who's been really off his game with his analysis lately, says you can't take credit for the over bet because that was sure luck. Isn't that what gambling,
gambling is? What do you think?
You're betting on chance. It's called gambling. If it wasn't luck, then we all quit our jobs. Right? and when we file our taxes at the end of the year and our W on our fucking tax forms on our EZ-40 forms, we would write professional gamblers because we don't have to work.
Right.
Of course it's luck. Guilty as charged. Guilty. The things he says.
It was luck you got it. It was luck that I threw a 7 at the table, you know. I mean, of course. All right, let's go to the phone. 718, you're live. 718.
Yeah, how you doing, Joe? How you doing, Eric?
Hey, what's happening?
What's up, brother?
Yeah, so isn't that the guy that you used to make fun of before? Danny DeBoche, you said he was a quitter in that fight?
No, I don't think I ever said that. Did I ever say that? I don't believe I ever said
that. Yes, you did.
Do you remember? You lost a quitter?
The internet is forever. The internet is forever, man.
I don't remember. Suleiman, if you had me on tape saying that, I don't remember calling him the – I don't remember saying that guy who lost to Joe –
okay,
the guy who quit against Joe Joyce. I don't remember saying that.
Not for nothing, but well, we have to give a lot of credit for Don King. We have to have a lot of credit for Trevor Bryan to step against our opponent like that, because a lot of these guys nowadays are not fighting a quality fighter like Danny DuBois to make the fight happen. And then he won the purse bid. So just to put his fighter, like you was talking before, like a lot of promoters are protecting fighters.
Yep.
And the Honorable Don King is not doing that. He's putting his guys against the top echelon. This man could have easily fought somebody else, a second-tier fighter, and probably being elevated to a super champion, because that belt's going to be stripped from Usyk. I don't think Usyk's going to defend those belts. So that he could be elevated, you know what I'm saying, because that's going to be the mandatory now. So he took the fight, and what I think in that fight, it was, in the first round, he was trying to emulate Joe Joyce, but in that first round, he got hurt because that guy's a monster puncher. He caught him with a punch, and he's pretty courageous and pretty durable, Trevor Bryan, in the fight. But the problem is that it was a power factor. And also, what I heard, the inside tip was that man has a bad leg. Trevor Bryan has a bad leg. He's like a Jose Benavidez. And that affects him when he's going back. That was found out from several fighters that saw him training in Las Vegas. And the guy has a bad leg. So at the end of the day, that boxing approach that he has is gonna have to change it, become more powerful, aggressive, to save that leg, preserve that leg, because he's like a Benavidez. If he's going back and forth with a guy, that's gonna affect his leg. So people were questioning that before the fight. I don't know if you guys heard that before, but I got a problem for him. It's a learning curve, man. The same way the boys took his first L and improved, I think Trevor Bryan could take this first L and improve from it. And possibly contest for a world championship once again. We have to be positive. You know what I mean? These are professionals. They're turning their asses off. We gotta give them the credit they deserve. And also, Tim Bradley was an excellent world champion, man. That's what I was saying before. He had a hell of a chin, man. The punches that he took from Marquez in that fight, Marquez was punching him. His heads were flying all over the place. So that's why now as a commentator, he's commentating from his past experiences, man. He was in the ring with world-class fighters. They were hell of ferocious punches, like Ruslan Porodnikov, Manny Pacquiao. He fought him 3 times.
He lost that fight, by the way. I thought he lost that fight.
Huh?
I thought he lost that fight against Porodnikov. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, in that fight, in modern-day time, now at this time, they probably would have stopped that fight in the first round. He was very hurt, but they did let that fight continue, and he improved and he won the fight. So we have to look at his career, and he is improving a lot in his commentating, man. If you look at him when he first started,
How much more of a chance do you want?
Yo, you saw the fight with Jesse Vargas. The fight with Jesse Vargas too. You know, he won that fight.
He's already passed the probationary period. How much more of a chance do you want to give him?
You give him a 6-month probationary period. He still passed it.
You got to give the guy a chance, man. He's improving a lot, man.
We're talking about people that passed away. Not on.
Come on, let me interrupt you for 1 second. You made a statement. You said Tim Bradley had a great chin, and he got caught with a lot of hard shots against Marquez and Provodnikov. Okay, that's great. So when other guys get hit, why are you insulting them, saying why they're getting hit with those shots? You shouldn't be getting hit with those shots. When he got hit with the same shots when he fought too, that's all we're saying. Like, he sounds very hypocritical when he's criticizing all these guys for making mistakes, expecting them to be perfect when he wasn't perfect. That doesn't mean
I'm pretty sure your show is very popular. I'm pretty sure he's listening to your show, and he's going to improve, boss. Give him a chance. He's going to improve on that. I'm pretty sure he's listening to your show.
Thank you so much. And another thing is, the Berlanga fight,
he's another fighter that's improving. He's improving a lot. He's improving also a lot. Hello?
I thought his defense improved.
He's fighting world-class fighters, okay? The fighters that he's fighting are not the same class of fighters that he's fighting when he first started. He was knocking them out. And he's improving his skill asset, you know what I'm saying? He's not taking as much punishment as he was when he started transitioning to boxer. His stamina looks like it's improving. This Angulo guy is a tough cookie, bro. He's a tough fighter. Okay, he gave a little trouble to Benavidez, so we have to look at that also. And Benavidez came overweight in that fight and still managed to knock him out. But you're talking about the top fighter in the division. That Benavidez, to me, is right under Canelo. So you know, he's a very, very skillful fighter. I mean, look, he's a three-time WBC champion practically now. So we have to look at that too. But I think that young kid could improve and win a world championship and probably contest for undisputed in the future. We have to give him a chance because they said the same thing about Haney when Haney was on the cover. Look at Haney now. Haney's undisputed, bro. And they were saying same crap about him. Oh, he gets hit, he bambi leg and all that. And look at him now. We got undisputed 135-pound champ. So let's just give this boy his learning curve. Let's give him his respect. Let's make sure he moves on to bigger and better things. Let's give him a positive big brother tap on the shoulder and say, look, you did a great job. I want to see you go in there and win again, man. You guys got to be coaches, man. We need coaches like that. Like, you guys, coaches, guys, make them better. Okay, you guys have a great show, man. Thank you, man. Thank you for having me on, man.
All right, Suleiman. Thank you so much, man. Beep, I noticed that Daniel Dubois does have a loss. You know, who did he lose to?
Joe Joyce.
Did they fight? I don't even remember them fighting.
Yeah. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, I don't even remember that. Did that happen?
Yeah.
Joe Joyce.
Yeah.
I don't even remember it. Did I?
You know, he gets a lot of stick for that fight. And I'm just going to be honest. I thought he was winning the fight.
I don't even remember seeing the fight, B. I really don't. I don't even
I thought he was winning the fight before he got stopped.
Yeah. I don't even see
it. He just had a bad injury, man.
Yeah, I didn't even see. I don't even remember seeing that fight. I don't even remember criticizing anybody on that fight. That's weird. I remember you criticizing people. I think that's what happens is that you make these accusations against these dudes. And then when you
criticize you for using... And then they for jumping all over him and using the Q word. Character assassinated. You know how many emails I had? I had a response to because of what you did. Oh my God! I had to fend off a lot of defamation suits because of you.
That's right. Olaf the Mighty says, "Where's Robbie to repeat the opinions of Beeb when you need him?" Well, wait no more. 530. You're live.
This front row.
Hello, guys.
The other day, he starts texting me saying that the Golden State Warriors suck. That what's going on with friggin' Steph Curry? Can you send me a Celtics T-shirt? Now he's back on the bandwagon, son.
All you're doing is delaying the party, Daddy.
First of all, I've got to attack Suleiman here. He said some ridiculous things. First of all,
what do you say?
You're saying that Usyk is going to get stripped of his titles. He's in a war, man. What are you talking about?
I mean,
look, there are circumstances why people aren't fighting, and Usyk is in a war. Lomachenko is in a war. I mean, if these guys get stripped,
he's back in training. Usyk's back in training.
Well, I know, but I mean, he's acting like he's never going to fight. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Listen, man, if you're going to let some little war get in the way of a title fight, then I don't know what to tell you. You know what I mean? I mean,
give me
you got to get your priorities straight. Are you for your country or are you for the title? You know what I mean? There's two different things.
Why are you taking shots at? Why are you taking shots at Suleiman, Ryan?
Well,
the guy's giving his opinion.
He just said
you
some ridiculous things.
You
want to
go back and forth? Thing. You want to turn into you turn into an internet troll all of a sudden, Robbie. With
no.
He
just said some ridiculous thing. And, look, Tim Bradley was awful last night. Tim Bradley was absolutely awful last night.
Oh, he's the worst.
Awful.
And both of them deserve to be suspended or put in different positions.
Oh, come on. Don't start with the cancel culture, Robbie. Come on. I know you're from California, but let's take it easy here.
There's no Me Too over here, son.
Give me a break. I mean,
people wanted to cancel you for those Triple G comments, but we didn't do it, all right?
We're rolling with Johnny Depp over here, son.
Well, hey, I'm glad he won.
Johnny Depp won, man.
That was a good win, man.
No, you're not.
Didn't you used to date Amber Heard?
No.
I heard you went out with her a couple of times.
No. After that performance,
I want to take you out on a date. You wouldn't go?
Yeah, right. No, thank you. Give me a break.
Wow.
Give me a break.
If Amber Heard came to your house and said, do you want to go on a date, would you go?
No.
You're lying.
I don't like her.
The chicks at the Asian massage parlor are better?
You know, I like the Asian girls.
Give me a break.
I like Asian women and
Asian
Hispanic
porn stars
women.
You're liking?
I like Asian women and Hispanic women.
You lay off our people, all right? How about that?
Lay off the gente,
all right?
And let's talk about Munguia here. Munguia, Ryan Garcia, Virgil Ortiz, and Gilberto Ramirez, they all need to leave Golden Boy. I mean, those four guys need to walk out the door because as long as they stay there, they're never going to get fights. Those four are never going to get any fights. I mean, how many, and no offense to Jimmy Kelly, but how many Jimmy Kellys does Munguia have to beat before he actually gets in the ring with somebody that can beat him?
Jimmy Kelly looked pretty good last night, no?
Yeah, he did. After the first round, he looked fantastic, you know? But, I mean, come on. Those four guys that I mentioned need to leave that company and they need to go elsewhere. They're not going to get any fights. Period.
No, that's not nice.
Well, I don't care if it's nice or not. Golden Boy is one of the worst run promotional companies on this planet. You and I could do better, Eric. I agree with that, but Oscar, man.
Let's not stop being delusional now. Even I can do better.
Maybe he's got depression. Oscar's running with depression and everything like that. You're just jumping all over him, man.
Ringside Robbie production.
Get the hell out of here, man.
I'm going to sign up for that. Ringside Robbie production.
Yeah. So give me a break.
Get the hell out of here, man.
Yeah. But, no, I actually want to see these guys on Golden Boy that deserve big fights start to get them. When Richard Schaefer was there, everybody was getting fights. Now that Oscar's running the damn thing, nobody's getting fights. They're all getting wins, and they're all getting money in their pockets, but they're not advancing their careers. What's more important?
Give the guy a break, man.
I'm not giving him a break. No.
Yeah, he's doing his best. He's doing the best he can. And you're just stepping all over the guy.
No, thank you.
You don't even get the benefit of the doubt.
Being negative, man. That's crazy.
You think it's easy being a promoter?
Right. How difficult that job is?
Imagine you sitting down trying to negotiate deals after you tell fighters you wish they got hurt.
Joe, I don't want to do business with you. If somebody's had too many fights, I'm going to tell them, you're done, man. Your career's over. See ya.
Oh, wow. He just pushes people out the door, Beeb.
Die, man. guy just has no empathy for anybody.
Olaf the Mighty says you're being a downer right now, Robert.
Well, hey, look.
Who's going to win Monday?
I can only tell you what I see, man.
Who's going to win Monday? Celtics or Golden State?
No, the Warriors will win. They're back at home. This series is going 7 games, folks. We're going to have a game next Sunday on Father's Day.
Seven games, Robbie. You realize Game 7 will be in Boston.
Yeah.
No, the Warriors have home. The Warriors have home court advantage, Beeb. Game 5 is in San Francisco. Game 6 is in Boston. Game 7 is back in San Francisco. Next Sunday night is when Game 7 will take place. This series is going 7 games. And the winner will take it all.
All right. Well, Robbie has spoken. He thinks it's going 7 games, Beeb, and he thinks he Bathhouse City. What's the matter with you, Louis Reyes? All right, Robert, we're going to put you on hold.
Okay, see ya.
Get that red out of here.
267. I think this is Philadelphia. Yeah. 267, you're live.
Yo, what's up, guys?
What's up, man? Who are we talking to?
Hey, Philly Drew?
Philly Drew.
Yep, you got that.
All right, what's the word?
I'll be honest with you, Top Link got a huge problem, a serious problem, because that kid cannot box to save his life, and he can't knock nobody out anymore. And with him biting the dude yesterday, is even a major problem now, because what else can you do with him now? Like, eventually, you're going to have to feed him to somebody big, but the kids got exposed last night. And I'm talking about Belonga.
Yeah, he didn't look impressive yesterday.
No, he sure didn't.
I'm being honest myself.
Like, I scored as a draw, if you ask me, but
I had a draw also.
It was just horrible. He just had problems with Kelly for like 3 or 4 rounds until he was able to finally get to him. And like, I agree with what some people are saying, how they're being protected and everything. But like, the problem is when Mejia is really tell you can be beaten by basic movement, because I'm telling you, Mejia is a type of fighter that does not move fast at all, and he doesn't really have that good footwork. Like, I really think a guy like you said earlier that can move and that can punch, that can box a little, and that has somewhat of a chin is going to beat Mejia. That's why I think that they never explored the fight with Demetrius Andrade, because they think Demetrius Andrade is a horrible matchup for him. Like, Jennebeck, I believe Jennebeck stops Mejia. I just think he has awesome footwork, and he's a guy that can really punch and everything. And Charlo is most likely going to get the win because he has a lot better footwork. But we haven't seen Charlo took a big hit yet. We haven't seen Charlo even tested yet to even say if he's going to win or not.
Very true. Very true. All right, Drew, we're going to get running, man. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's get back one more card here, and then we'll tell you about the upcoming fights here. That was the Showtime card, that Showbox card. Bakadir Jalalov versus Jack Malawi, 8 rounds heavyweights. Now Jalalov, easy for me to say, knocks out Malawi in the 8th round to remain unbeaten. This guy looks good, man. He's got a great amateur pedigree. This is the guy who won the Olympics, the gold, won the world championships, the gold. He's 11-0, 11 knockouts now. He knocked him out in the 8th round, obviously, last round. But listen, it doesn't matter. He was going to win this fight. It wasn't like he was in danger of losing this fight. This guy is very good. He can box. Definitely one of the heavyweights you want to be watching, man, for sure. Him and Daniel Dubois. The other heavyweight you want to start watching now. How about that? George Arias versus Alante Green. Arias beats Green via split decision. Ty Tomlin, friend of the show, versus Chan Thompson. Chan Thompson wins via TKO in the fifth round over Ty Tomlin. Tomlin took a lot of clean shots here, man. He did not look like himself. Things didn't go his way, that's for sure. Thompson looks like he was just dicing this guy up, man. It was, I think, you know, maybe, you know, like I said, man, maybe the jitters were real. Maybe, you know, he's on a big card. It's, you know, tough. It's tough. But I like Ty Tomlin. I think he will be back. This is going to be a learning experience for him. Now, let me tell you this, Beeb. I know that you always dump all over women's boxing. And I tell you constantly, I'm tired of it. Right?
Sure.
Yes, that's right. That is correct.
I'll go along with this.
I cannot stand when you do that. It makes me mad. But, you know, I keep it bottled up. It's the kind of guy I am.
Sure.
I don't like this, you know, to be uneasy here. But let me tell you what. The future of women's boxing. O'Shea Jones wins a unanimous decision over Sonya Dryling. Former Olympian O'Shea Jones did a great job here. Beebe, she is, without question, the future of women's boxing. O'Shea Jones. Beebe, let me ask you a question. Do you know where O'Shea Jones is from?
Let me guess. Ohio?
Ohio, baby. Cleveland, Ohio. Title town, baby. What does Marcus always say? Ohio runs boxing, baby. Ohio runs boxing. O'Shea Jones, let me tell you what. Let me tell you what. Future of women's boxing right here. We're not talking about, you know, we're not talking about Ebony Bridges. She doesn't need to get in a bikini, do Instagram selfies to sell herself. She doesn't need to do any of that. She doesn't need to go out there and fawn all over Eddie Hearn. She doesn't need to dress up or anything like that. She doesn't have to go in a, you know, a two-piece bathing suit out in front of the crowds at the weigh-ins or anything like that. We're talking about a fighter, Jack. We're talking about a fighter. We're talking about a real fighter. And we're talking about a lady who is going to transform the women's boxing world. Did I mention she's from Titletown? That's right. The future is with O'Shea Jones, baby. That's what I'm telling you. All right. Let's talk about the upcoming fights. Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot coming on here. Let's see what we got. Let's see here. June 18th. The big one, there's one, and it's a big one. All right? ESPN and ESPN Plus. Arthur Beterbiev versus Joe Smith Jr., 12 rounds for Beterbiev's WBC and IBF heavyweight, light heavyweight titles. And Smith's WBO light heavyweight title. Abraham Nova will face Robesy Ramirez, former Olympian Robesy, Cuban Olympian Robesy Ramirez, 10 rounds featherweight. And Robesy, the guy, he's the guy that beat Shakur, right?
Correct.
Yeah. He's not bad. He's a good fighter. Good fighter. He's not Shakur, but he's a good fighter. I got to be honest, man. What do you? This is a can't miss fight, right?
It is a can't miss fight.
There's no way this fight goes a distance, right? None.
I don't see it going a distance, no. I think actually picking Smith by stoppage late in this fight.
Hey, everybody in the chat, hit the motherfucking like button.
That's right, guys. If you like what we're doing, if we're entertaining to you, even if you don't like what we're doing, I don't care. If you're watching, just hit the like button, all right? Just do that for me. I'm not asking you to work in a coal mine. I'm just asking you to hit a button. That's it. Like. Just hit it.
I think Joe Smith's volume and very decent punching power and his ability to not only fight on the inside, but he's got a little bit of an outside game to him. He's got a good straight right hand from the outside, sets it up beautifully off the jab. And then when he does get inside, he's a great body puncher, and he's put shots together, and he just is in incredible condition.
Yeah.
And I think he's getting better. I think after being champion, I think he's gotten more confidence. I think now that he's a full-time fighter, I just think that he's going to continue to improve. He's still kind of young. He's like 32. Beterbiev's going to be 38 soon. He's getting up there in age. And, you know, I think he squares up a bit. As great as he is, like in terms of how strong and powerful he is, I think he squares up a lot. I think he's more of a mid-range guy. I think on the outside he's vulnerable, and I think deep in a pocket, I think you could smother him a little bit. So I think that, you know, Smith can work outwork him on the inside, and when he is on the outside, I think he can, you know, occupy him with the jab to prevent him from getting off. And because Smith is just such a really active, busy guy who's like the Energizer Bunny that just doesn't quit, I think this is the fight that you could see Better Beef kind of slow down a little bit.
Could be.
And I think the upset is definitely, you know, likely to happen here. It's probable. I don't want to say it's likely. I think it's probable. I think it's possible.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are sleeping on Joe Smith. I mean, styles make fights, right? And Joe Smith had a hell of a tough time against Bivol. But once again, this is a different style matchup for him, and I think this suits him a little bit better, much better, I should say, than the Bivol fight does.
You know, the thing is, man, I think that Better Beef is going to catch him in this fight. Joe Smith is just not defensively responsible enough to fight this entire fight without getting caught.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah.
Better Beef can put your lights out at any point in this fight. I still think he's got it because I do think he slipped a little bit, but man, does he still got that pop. He's still got that pop, man. I tell you what, I think that Better Beef knocks him out. I'd like to see Joe Smith win because, I mean, this guy, how can you not root for Joe Smith? You know, I mean,
he's a fellow union member. He was a union member.
Right.
Local 22. You got to give him credit, man.
Yeah. You know,
brother in arms.
Exactly, man. So, you know, you can't not root for Joe Smith, man. But I just have a feeling that Better Beef is going to catch him. I'll be rooting for Joe Smith. While it's going to be definitely with Better Beef though on this one. I just think he's going to catch him. He's not defensively responsible enough to work that 12 rounds against this kind of puncher.
Yeah.
You know, against, you know, yeah, it's just not going to work for him, man.
Tough fight. It's a tough fight.
Yeah. Ryan Hong says Joe Smith is going to beat him. Ryan Hong also asked me, what do I think of Skye Nicholson? I've seen all her movies. I like her a lot better than Asia Carrera. So there you go. Boxing expert, please. Thank you so much. Would you say please? Better Beef, KO Smith, Bivol, and Canelo. I can't argue with that either, man. I tell you what, you can't argue with it, man. When you got that kind of freakish type of power. You know, when you got that freakish type of power, it's tough. It really is. It's like Wilder. You know he can be outboxed, just like I know Better Beef can be outboxed. But that power is a game changer. Power is just a game changer. It just is, man. All right. Let's talk about our news and rumors. This is kind of karma coming back to bite somebody, Joe. Jermall Charlo suffered a back injury and has postponed his fight against Zaleski. They always question Charlo, both Charlos always question injuries. They're always going back and forth. Oh, show the doctor report, blah, 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 blah. And now what? Where's the doctor report at? I would be crowing for that doctor report. And also, too, I read somewhere that he was calling out, now again, I don't know how true it is, I read it on the boards and stuff like that, that he's calling out Canelo, Canelo and who was the other guy? He's calling out somebody else, Canelo and another big-name fighter.
Golovkin.
Was it Golovkin? Okay.
Yeah.
He's calling out, like, those two or whatever. Like, dude, you got a fight in front of you.
Correct.
You know, well, are you going to try to get out of that fight to try to get this fight? Like, come on,
man. Yeah. Crazy.
Come on. Keep the same energy. You're injured now. Keep the same energy. This is the guy that was crowing about Tony Harrison. Was it Tony Harrison?
Tony Harrison, Castaño. Both of them had injuries, and if the fight gets rescheduled, what's the big deal?
Right.
It's not like the fight's getting postponed. It's getting canceled.
Yeah.
If it gets rescheduled, and you know, right away, then what's the big deal?
Right.
You know. But they do kind of jump on guys that get injured, and it's part of the sport, unfortunately.
Right. Boxing expert, thank you so much, brother. And B, this is the best comment we've gotten, I would say, since we've been on air. 380 some shows, B. this is probably the best comment and the one that you maybe should listen to the most. Boxing expert says, Joe, listen. Listen to Eric. He's taking you under his wing. You might learn something. There you go. There you go.
You got it.
Let's see here. Naoya Inoue was robbed after his title win. So turns out while he's literally robbed. So turns out while Inoue was over there fighting Donaire, thieves were back at his house. Apparently his house got broken into, robbed. More than a dozen designer bags and expensive pieces of jewelry are missing now. What a lowlife. I mean, seriously, like, what lowlife, man?
That's insanity, huh?
What is that? Who does that?
That happened to Floyd a couple times, too, but I think with Floyd it was an inside job because, again,
you took him up for insurance purpose. Are you going to blame you're going to save Floyd Mayweather with nothing, no evidence. Just say he's guilty of insurance fraud.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. You're going to allege that Floyd Mayweather is guilty of insurance fraud? I'm over here talking. We're on the other side of the world. We're in Japan right now. We're in Japan, son, and you're talking about, I think Floyd, he caused insurance fraud. I think he had people steal from him. You for real? Come on, geez. Man. Stop it. Stop it. Beeb, it's back. Our train wreck of the week, son, is back. Beeb, our train wreck of the week this week. Oscar De La Hoya. Oscar De La Hoya, he claims that he can't wait to sell Golden Boy. Then the next day he takes to Twitter and claims he got a 10-figure offer to sell Golden Boy. So he goes to Twitter, right? And by the way, he's got to be still on drugs. People on Pure Air just don't act like this, all right? They just don't, all right? So he says on Twitter, I just got a 10-figure offer to sell Golden Boy. What do I do? Why are you asking me? Why are you asking me what you should do? You're your own business guy. I mean, for real, like, why are you asking people what you should do? Sell it. Nobody likes you. First of all, look, let's be honest here. You didn't get a 10-figure offer because anybody that offered you 10 figures is stupid. All right? You'll be lucky to get 6 figures for that thing. I mean, honestly, do you think that he can get 10 figures for Golden Boy?
I have a hard
he
time.
He doesn't have Canelo. Who does he
doesn't
got?
Have Canelo. He doesn't have anybody.
Munguia, who else? Garcia?
Well,
and then Ortiz. Those are your three. No way he's getting that much money. There's no way he's getting – no way.
Wasn't there a rumor before, like during the Richard Schaefer days, that – Richard Schaefer and Al Heyman wanted to buy Golden Boy, or he was talking about that, and then he took the deal off the table. So I don't know how serious he is, but it's many, many years later. So, you know, he's very hands off as it is, and maybe the pressure of having to be attached to this company.
Pressure of what? He doesn't do anything.
Well, that's the thing. You're not doing anything, but, you know, when these fights don't get made, everyone's just, like, destroying you on Twitter, and you're always getting criticized and made fun of. Maybe he's getting tired of it, I guess. I don't know.
He's such a goof. And he took to Twitter yesterday and said something about, you know, well, you know, a lot of people are taking shots at me, but you guys ought to use me as a inspiration. You guys should use me as an inspiration, you know, because I'm fighting through depression and everything like that. And just shut up.
Listen,
just go face down back into your nose candy and leave us all alone. Seriously, get off social media.
Hey, man, everyone's got problems, and I'm not diminishing or making light of depression at all.
No.
But what is this new thing that everyone's got to come out and tell you that they're depressed? Why not just deal with it yourself?
I think it does help. I will say this. I think, you know, when you're struggling with something, a lot of times it does help to share that.
Okay.
At the same time,
with your friends, family,
with your circle,
and therapists that you can work with,
right?
But why do total strangers have to know?
Right.
Like when I'm at Stop and Shop doing the groceries, I don't turn to the cashier and go, "Hey, man, you know what? I'm kind of depressed, man. What do you think? What do you think about that?"
Yeah. You want to run your charge card through so we can finish this transaction?
Sure, debit or credit, please. I mean, total strangers don't give a fuck about you. People that never met you before don't give a fuck about you. Sir, do you have any coupons?
Yeah, do you have any cash or card, sir? You know, and I don't make light of depression. I don't make light of if he has. He says he has depression, so I guess I believe him. I don't know. I mean, but who knows? Who knows with this guy? He also said he wants to make friends with Dana White again. He said he wants to bury the hatchet with Dana White. Yeah, let me think about that. You try to block the biggest fight he ever had, you know, and saying, hey, don't buy it. Putting fights on during his stuff and everything like that. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But you want to make friends with Dana White, but now you're attacking Eddie Hearn at every other turn that you can.
Yeah, exactly. You know, right? I mean, like, come on, man. This guy, you know, he said he wants to do business out with Dana White. What business? You guys are in two different sports. They just contact the tennis. What is it, the ATP or whatever? Why don't you do business with them? They're two different sports. Stop it.
Why don't you talk to DAZN and see if you can start promoting some cricket matches?
Why don't you talk to DAZN and see if you can put on some good fights? How about that?
Yeah.
How about getting these fighters some big paydays? How about getting these fighters some fighters, you know, worth putting on DAZN?
Yeah.
You know? And again, I'm not bagging on the Jimmy Kelly fight. I thought that was a good, entertaining fight. It's not the guy Munguia should have been fighting, though.
No.
You know? So there you go. Some sad news to report, man. The Hector Camacho murder case has been dismissed. Why has it been dismissed? We got five people in custody, B. Why is it dismissed? The star witness, out. Fled the country. Fled Puerto Rico.
That's again, we don't want to speculate, but there seems to be some type of organized crime.
That's kind of going out there on a limb, no? I mean, the witness fled the country. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be some type of organized crime.
It has to be, right?
Someone's threatening.
That's like Soprano type stuff, man. I mean, like, really, like, you know, it was Soprano type stuff, man.
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be, right?
Is that some Daniel Kinahan stuff or what?
It has to be, right?
I'm being honest. Pretty sad.
Yeah, I mean, the five people, you know, they had to be, it has to be like a syndicate type of thing.
Yeah.
You don't. I
feel horrible.
And they said.
I feel horrible.
And the prosecution said, hey, can we have some time here before you do this? Because we think that the subject may have went to Florida. They dismissed it, so it's done.
It's a shame how they can't bring closure to this, because I'm sure the family must be obviously in such pain, knowing that there's someone out there that got away with this and they can't be, and they're not able to be punished for it. And they, I think that the family needs some type of closure to this.
It's
a shame.
But you know
it's
what? I'll be honest with you. Even if those guys got locked up or whatever, I don't know that it changes that much. I mean, I'm just being honest. I don't know that it really changes that much, because what happened.
Yeah.
You know, and it's justice, I get you, it's justice, but even if they were locked up, your life is going to be forever changed. It's never going to be, you're never really going to be at peace, period, because of the way it happened. It just sucks all the way around. Yeah, possibly, yeah. It just sucks all the way around.
It's always going to be a traumatic type of, as long as they very well could be some PTSD from the family regarding the whole situation.
That's awful, too. It's just awful. The fact that he... You know, the witness just fled. You know, his life was in danger or her life was in danger. I mean, that, you know. You can't, I mean, what would you do? You know what I'm saying? I mean, really, like, what would you do? They're going to threaten your life. They're probably threatening your family and everything like that. You testify. I mean, you're going to do what any normal person would do, you know?
I would also, you know, suspect that that guy is in America somewhere, probably, like you said, in Florida.
Yeah.
New York.
Yeah. Florida, New York. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And B, mark your calendars. Mark your calendars for tomorrow. Monday, Beeb. Monday. Floyd Mayweather is set to hold a presser on Monday, announcing that he will fight again in Ryzen. cares? Guy's flat broke. He has to be flat broke, Beeb. Am I wrong here?
I suspect it. I think he doesn't have a lot of liquidity, man. I think a lot of his money is tied up in assets and stuff, and I don't think he can sell all of it. I think he's still probably having, again, it's just my opinion, I just think he probably still has tax issues.
Yeah.
From what I heard, that Conor McGregor fight, the majority of that purse he got went to pay off his taxes. So I don't know, man.
You know, I tell you, man, it's, again, because nobody likes getting hit in the face, you know, not if you've done it this many years. And you're going to fight a guy from Ryzen or whatever and whatever, and you're fighting your old sparring partners again. You know, you can call it a legalized brink job, whatever you want to justify it to get the public on your side. I get you.
Yeah.
But bottom line is, listen, how many fights what was the last exhibition Andre Ward was in after his retirement? Because he fought somebody, didn't he? He didn't. He didn't fight anybody for money? No.
No.
Why? Probably because he doesn't need it, you think?
Yeah.
Well, he's got that ESPN gig, so, yeah, he probably doesn't. But, yeah, I mean, again, man, it's not anybody saying that, like, oh, it's just free money. It's not free money, son.
Nah.
You got to go out there and you got to work for it. I mean, you got to go out there, you got to get hit in the face. You're going to get hit.
It's kind of embarrassing, too.
Yeah. Because
you're the great Floyd Mayweather and you're fighting guys like that no one really heard of. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I think it's a bad look. That's just my opinion. Like, I've told people this all the time. You got guys like Magic Johnson. You got guys like Shaquille O'Neal. You got guys like, Canelo Alvarez. You got a lot of these athletes that have these investments that they make money outside the ring, right? They own businesses. They do a lot of commercials. You know, even Ryan Garcia is doing commercials now. Alicia Bumgarner is doing a lot of she's even doing commercials now.
Who is she?
And you see, please. So, you know, so the thing is this, you hear this man say that he's made a lot of smart investments. Well, if you made smart investments, then you should be able to be living off those smart investments. You shouldn't have to be doing things. He's doing, you know, he's charging these people, FaceTime like $3,500.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Oh yeah. Yeah. So yeah. you can get him to like a one-on-one with him, but apparently it's like really structured or something like that. You can't just ask him anything and it's like a lot of money. And I doubt like so if I said, all right, I'm going to pay X amount of dollars, I'm going to get Floyd on here. You can't do that. I don't believe that would happen.
Yeah.
I think it's very, like, it has to be one-on-one. It has to be just you and you know what I mean? Like one of those type of deals.
I think he's charging, like, $3,500.
Something crazy, you know.
Yeah. You know, Floyd Mayweather. I'm going to Google Floyd Mayweather FaceTime videos and see what comes up. Pretty embarrassing, though.
Yeah, I don't understand it, man. I really don't. I mean, he needs money. But, you know, you take a look at him and you say, well, he's rich. You know, he's got Bugattis. He's got this and that. Listen, again, I can't go to the store and buy bread with a Bugatti. I just can't. All right, you have to have somebody who's going to pay for that. Nobody's going to pay for that. All that stuff he's got, nobody's buying it. You got to sell that stuff.
Yeah, I just think that he's lived, a pretty extravagant lifestyle, and so former world has offered fans the opportunity to land a one-on-one chat for a rather lofty fee of $1,400 amid recent questions regarding his financial situation. Yeah, so I apologize. So it's $1,400 for like a meet and greet with Floyd Mayweather.
$1,400.
Yeah.
How long does this meet and greet last?
I don't know. And then there's like a package he's offering $1,500 for a private video.
I mean, we interviewed him for free. I'm not paying $1,400 for it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, Mayweather was reportedly bankrupt. Fans who want to chat. Mayweather to charge fans $150 for a photo. I mean, these are all things that people do that think that like they usually have money issues, right?
JC says, doesn't he own strip clubs? I mean, yeah, I think he owns that. What is it? The one in Vegas, Girl Collection or whatever.
Girl Collection, yeah. Those are freaking bad investments, though. I mean, think about this. You got girls coming and going all the time, and you know, it's just in a very unstable business. You know, like ask Warren Buffett how many strip clubs he owns, or ask Jay-Z how many strip clubs he owns, or P. Diddy how many you know, strip clubs they own, or Shaq how many strip clubs. Like Shaq owns businesses.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Shaq, like Magic Johnson has like a movie house chain, you know, movie theater chain.
Yeah.
You know? These guys, it's crazy, you know. It's just it's a bad look, man. Then people say, "Oh, well, why do you care? Why are you making fun of the guy? I mean, why do you care that we care? I mean, we're talking about it's news. I mean, why do you care? Why do you care that we're talking about it? Why does it bother you?
It's news.
You
know? It's news. People want to know.
I mean, that's what people talk about.
People want to know our opinions. That's why they tune in. That's just the way it is.
Exactly.
Dean I says, "When did making money become an indicator that you're broke?" Listen.
It's the way you make money that's an indicator of why you're broke.
Right, exactly. If he would have, you know, be a you know, broadcaster or something like that, nobody's going to say anything about that. But again, it's the way you're making the money. You know,
and you're prioritizing these exhibitions over your fighters. Like you went to a press conference the same day that your fighter was having a press conference for his fight. So why would you do that? You know what I'm saying? Why would you do that if you didn't have money issues? Why would you prioritize yourself over your fighter?
D-Style bottle program. Bill Gates doesn't charge for a pitcher. He's right.
Yeah.
That's a great point. That's a really good point. You know, that's a thing, man. I mean, if you're, you know, listen, man, if you're 40 years old and you're still a stripper, I'm gonna put together that you're broke and you're uneducated. You know what I mean? That's just what I'm going to do. That's just the face. That's the way it looks. That's the way it looks for me, you know? And, you know, him continuing to fight the caliber of guys he's fighting with the rules that he's putting in and everything where he can't lose, you know, I mean, listen, man, you don't see him rushing to fight Logan Paul again because that was hard work.
Yeah.
That was a hard fight for him. That wasn't easy for him.
It was his first loss.
Right.
Why would you want that work again?
Hey, you'll know this better than I will, Beebe. Where's Logan Paul from?
Ohio.
You don't get that work from anywhere else but Ohio, baby. That's where we get it.
And here's another thing, you know, when you're stiffing people, you're not paying your taxes.
That's the other thing. Yeah.
You got all these people saying that he stiffed them for money.
Yep.
He had a car. He was missing car payments one time. He wouldn't pay like people who did work on his house, landscapers and stuff. Like, why would you stiff all these people if you had money? You know what I mean?
That's the thing, man. Yeah, he Logan Paul said he still hadn't gotten paid yet or something like that, or he got partial payment or something. No way you shouldn't have gotten paid yet.
And even Donald Trump, people like talk about how rich Donald Trump is. I believe he's got liquidity problems too. I mean, he's
– Yeah. Oh, sure. That's why he didn't want his taxes. Well, that's why he didn't want his taxes released, because he's not a billionaire or whatever he claims to be.
Yeah, I would suspect very, you know, people want to talk about Trump and, oh, what about Trump? I agree. I think he's got liquidity problems too. This guy's filed bankruptcy a couple times, right?
Yeah. Outlaw with a great point. He said at some point these exhibitions are going to dry up and he'll be in trouble. He's right, because that last one, I mean, how many people really watched that? How much money did you really make from that?
Then he said before, "Oh, I don't do endorsements. I want to make money off money."
Nobody's going to endorse that guy.
But now he's doing like these commercials for like window companies and like a some type of slime gun or something like that. So it's like here's the thing, man. Like if you're Floyd Mayweather, like you should be able to like do Coca-Cola commercials, Sprite commercials. You know, you should be able to do like big name brand type commercials, but he can't
because he's Floyd Mayweather.
Because he's Floyd Mayweather, he's toxic, right? He's like he's toxic with all the negative shit surrounding him. The you know, the woman beating thing, and you know his son wrote a statement.
Awful. That was awful.
Saying that he saw him beating up his mom, and then people still say, oh, he's innocent. His son wrote a statement saying he did it, and he pled guilty to it.
You know how difficult that was for his son?
Yeah.
You know how difficult that had to be? I mean, come on, man. That was that's a big deal. You know?
You know?
I don't get it, man. I don't get it.
And I'm just going to say one thing, real brief about it. Devin Haney was on the Boxing Voice. He was being interviewed, and they asked him about, like, this the money persona. Like, they showed, like, before he had, like, Instagram photos of himself with jewelry and cars. And he said, you know what, I stopped doing that because that's not the image I want to portray to the kids. I don't want to throw it in people's faces that I, you know, that I have money or whatever. I want to show kids that anyone can make money, but it's about keeping the money you make. That's more important. So even this guy at 23, who could easily go down the Floyd Mayweather route of like which is very popular now. You got these people who are just like love to floss on Instagram and TikTok or whatever.
Yeah.
This guy is just telling you that you know that's not who he is and that's not who he wants to be, and he's not going to go down that route, right? So you got to give him credit for that.
Right. Right. So I like Devin Haney a lot. I've always liked him. Yep. I always said, and I told you when I first saw him that this guy's the next guy. This is the next guy.
You called it a long time ago. I was skeptical at certain times. I always thought he was good, but I didn't know how good he could actually be or how successful he'd actually be. And you pretty much called it. He's done everything that you've anticipated that he would do.
But, you know, so. I'll tell you what. Maybe I was wrong. I mean, not about – Devin Haney's a great fighter. Don't get me wrong. But maybe the heir apparent, maybe the next guy, you know, you wonder, is it Shakur Stevenson?
Could be. But here's the thing, though, Eric. Devin Haney is continuing – he's going to continue to get bigger. Like, he's a big guy. Like, I – Devin Haney said, you know, they asked him, you know, what do you see yourself capping out? He goes, I could see myself possibly capping out at 154 at some point. When he's 28 years old, who knows how big this guy will be?
That with the skills he has. That's correct. The other thing. He's not a knockout artist. I mean, he does have power. Don't get me wrong, because you cannot have that kind of speed without power.
Yeah.
You have it. I mean, even Howard Davis had power, you know what I mean? But the thing is, when you got that speed, it's dangerous. But again, just with his ability alone, his ability to not get hit, he can go. The sky's the limit for that guy.
I guess what I'm trying to say is when he moves up to 140 and eventually 147, I just think he's going to be better because he's going to be bigger and stronger, and he's not going to have to suffer through that weight cut.
Yeah, so. that's the other thing too. And I think they're far enough in weight. I don't think they'll pass or ever cross. I really don't, because I think there's a cap on Shakur because of his size.
Yeah, well, that's why I think the difference will be because they're both very highly skilled, and you can argue that Shakur is maybe more skilled than Devin Haney, but Devin Haney will always have that size advantage, I think. I think he's just bigger.
Yeah. Bang Mateo, thank you so much, brother. He said, Floyd retired 2 years to avoid Paul Williams. Listen, man, I'll be honest, man. You want to see the Paul Williams fight? Just watch the Diego Corrales fight over and over again. I think that's how that fight goes.
I don't think Paul Williams beats him.
I don't think size matter to Mayweather as far as as far as his ability. Like, size wasn't going to hamper him. At the speed and everything, he would have beat Paul Williams. He would have beat anybody at that point in his career, man.
Paul Williams really had no business fighting at 147 anyways. He should have been he's really 154, 160 pounder.
Tell you what, and you know what? I was thinking about it the other day, man. I was thinking about this, about the Mayweather fight, and I was thinking about Marquez because I saw him. He got his I think he was at the Hall of Fame getting his hand, I guess, plastered or whatever. And I guess they're going to bronze it or whatever they're going to do with it. I guess, you know. But I thought about Marquez and how good of a fighter he was and the fights with Pacquiao and just how solid of a boxer he was. Because he is a textbook type of boxer, you know what I mean? He could get out of his game. He wasn't Ricardo Lopez, don't get me wrong, but he could definitely get out. He could definitely get him out of his game. But he was a textbook, very, just one of the great fighters, you know. Floyd manhandled that guy.
Yeah,
I know Floyd came in overweight. I get you. Floyd manhandled that guy. That fight wasn't even close.
Wasn't even close.
You know? So Bang Mateo said the volume would have been a mess for Floyd. You know, listen, man, defensive fighters, and I said this a couple of weeks with the Haney fight, you know, defensive fighters, the volume that you throw, high-volume punchers, their punches naturally go down when you're fighting a defensive guy. Look at Bernard Hopkins.
Look at Pacquiao.
Yep.
When Pacquiao fought Marquez.
Yeah.
When you're in there with a counterpuncher that's going to make you pay for every mistake you make, you tend to not want to make those mistakes anymore. And the only way you can stop it sometimes is by curbing your volume down a little bit.
Because they make you start thinking. And when you start thinking in there, It's
not hesitating.
You need to start. You need to think in the corner. You don't need to think during that fight, man. When you're throwing, you have to react because the action happens like that. You
gotta
know?
Be instinctive.
Yeah, you, right. You got to be instinctive. If you start thinking in there, it's not good. Not good, man. I would like to see Luis Reyes. Luis Reyes says I would like to see Floyd versus Margarito just for fun. That would have been a great fight. I would have loved to have seen that fight.
I would have loved to see that too. That
would have been a great fight. Fun fights. It'd been a fun fight. Ronan Seven, if Crawford Spence happens, Spence will be landing and throwing less than he usually does. Yeah, I think so. Because again, it's coming back at him. Where is that fight, by the way? Because I'm hearing they sent the contract over. This is all scuttlebutt. Nothing has been,
Yeah, now you're hearing things that nothing's really been settled. And I'm sure there's talks going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, for sure.
When it does happen, I'm suspecting it's going to be in Vegas, the Vegas fight, I would think. Like you said, I mean that Crawford's not going to go to Texas to fight Spence, I don't believe.
No, that wouldn't be as much as I'd like to see the fight happen in Texas, I think it goes to Vegas or New York or California. It could be California too. It's a big fight town, but I don't know that it sells. I think it sells well, Staples Center, maybe.
Staples Center.
It sells better. To me, it sells better in Vegas or New York. It just does.
I agree.
So there you go. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. And you can find me on Twitter at ringside73. And we will catch you guys next week.